Secrets.
Hey there, I'm Amy Smith.
And I'm LaDonna Humphrey. Welcome to Deep Dark Secrets, a podcast that shines a light in some really dark places.
Today we will continue our discussion about Nathaniel Bar-Jonah, born David Paul Brown. If you recall, the vast majority of NAMBLA members are men that have a sexual preference for young boys. However, many of their members are pedophiles that will willingly molest and rape any child, regardless of their gender.
6 years after leaving Arkansas, Bar-Jonah was arrested for the 1996 murder of Zachary Ramsey. Authorities believe that Bar-Jonah raped the young boy, murdered him, and then ate his remains. That's really awful. But while searching Bar-Jonah's home, law enforcement discovered human remains in his garage of a young boy between the ages of 9 and 14. Authorities also discovered thousands of pictures of young boys, along with encrypted writings that were decoded by the FBI. Those writings included recipes entitled Little Boy Pot Pie and Little Boy Stew. It's terrible, Amy. I think that their beliefs that he was a cannibal were pretty much, you know, affirmed that day when they did the search on his house.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if you're uncovering recipes with those titles on it, it's kind of hard to shy away from anything, but he was a cannibal. Authorities next investigated Bar-Jonah's movements across the United States, and they found evidence that he had traveled to Arkansas, Colorado, Florida, Massachusetts, Michigan, and Washington. A full-scale effort to review missing children reports in those areas were launched. And to date, we can find no evidence that findings from that investigation have been released to the public, but I'd really like to know if they did find anything, because I would almost think that he'd have to be involved in something other than what he's admitted to.
Yeah, I agree. I think we should probably do a deep dive into that maybe for another episode. I think that's a really good point, Amy.
Yeah, I mean, there's got to be evidence there somewhere.
Oh, I believe so. Well, in researching Bar-Jonah, I did discover that he was released from custody in July of 91 after a Superior Court judge in Massachusetts took the word of two psychologists who said he was no longer a threat to society. At that time, a loophole existed in the state sentencing laws. Inmates with good behavior were granted 12.5 days off of their sentence for every month served. And because Bar-Jonah was a model inmate, he walked out of prison 5 years early. Less than a month later, he assaulted a boy in Oxford, Massachusetts, and he was only given a 2-year suspended sentence for that crime. It was just like this perfect storm for Bar-Jonah. That enabled him to be able to hurt other kids. It's really a sad tale, actually.
And what baffles me is that, I mean, if you're an inmate, your minimum requirement is to be on your good behavior. I mean, why are we rewarding what was already bad behavior? And so they've got their consequence, but if they're good, they're going to get out of their consequence.
That's a good point, Amy. That might be the start of another podcast. I don't know. What do you think? Transformed Justice?
Ooh, I like it. Pencil that in. We'll circle back to getting that one started.
Stay tuned, friends.
Dun, dun, dun. All right. Well, it is believed that Bar-Jonah could be responsible for dozens of additional crimes across the United States. And LaDonna, I know that you mentioned this briefly last time, but I've also always wondered if Bar-Jonah had any involvement in the abduction of the 6-year-old girl from Alma, Arkansas, named Morgan Nick. Morgan was abducted from a Little League game on June 9th, 1995, just 6 months after Melissa Witt disappeared. The distance between Alma and Fort Smith is only 18 miles, which makes it a plausible theory, I mean, at least in my mind, that the child predator and NAMBLA member could have had knowledge of Morgan's abduction. I mean, obviously, they work together and seem to all have the same business plan.
That's right. I don't disagree.
It would just make sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Bar-Jonah, an opportunist, He preyed on both male and female children. A few days after his high school graduation, Barjona drove to a nearby town of Hartford, Connecticut, and he impersonated a police officer in order to abduct a 9-year-old girl.
Unfortunately, Barjona refused to talk about any of the crimes he committed, and on April 13th of 2008, Barjona was found unresponsive in his prison cell. A myocardial infarction was determined to be the cause of death, and as I mentioned in our last episode, I never got the chance to speak to him. I had just gotten permission within months before his death to actually have some meetings with Barjona, and then he died. And it was something that I really, really wanted to do because I believe to this day in my heart that he was a child trafficker, a serial killer, and a cannibal.
Yeah, I believe he was all those things too, LaDonna. And I hate the fact that he had to die before you had the opportunity to ask him, because he may not have talked to you, but I think you would have at least gotten a sense if you were on the right track for sure. But when you look closer at the case that we discussed in our last episode, the one of Zach Ramsey, the boy that authorities believe Barjona kidnapped, sexually abused, possibly trafficked, and then murdered and cannibalized, you'll find some startling revelations. For instance, Barjona was a compulsive hoarder of receipts, but there were no food receipts found when his apartment was searched that showed he purchased any food in the month following Zach's disappearance. Furthermore, Barjona's neighbors reported that he brought them spaghetti with a strange, sweet-tasting meat sauce. They also reported that he was giving away burgers at cookouts that he would host in the neighborhood. And when he was questioned about the food, even though he wasn't a hunter, he told his guests that it was a deer that he killed and prepared. Then, after Zach's disappearance, Barjona moved into an apartment in the same building as a woman who had young male sons living with her. It was later discovered that for a long period of time, Barjona sexually and physically assaulted the three young neighbors, including hanging one from the ceiling. Do you remember that pulley, LaDonna, that was found attached to the ceiling of one of his houses?
Oh, yeah, I do remember us talking about that. Ugh, this is horrible.
Yeah, I mean, meat sauce and pulleys, that's something you can't even dream of.
No, well, the information about Barjona only gets creepier. Apparently, he loved to write in code. And one of the codes that investigators easily deciphered in his apartment spelled out words like Nathaniel, kid sex, roasted child, and little boy stew. And when Barjona was arrested, a piece of paper was found in his wallet with 9 words. Now, they don't make sense. I'm going to read them to the best of my ability here. It's Haza, Kaforum, Minia, Licorium. I sound like an episode of Harry Potter. Rab, Plumius, Deporum, Allegi, Mactum. His other codes appeared to give details about his crimes and or his motivations, but this particular code was never solved, and investigators believe that solving it could potentially give some closure to families of missing children. So guess what I've been spending my evenings doing, Amy?
I have absolutely no idea.
I'm trying to crack the code.
Well, did they ever say how they cracked the ones with the Nathaniel and kid sex? I mean, was there a...
No, but I did write to some of the investigators in the case to find out. And I'd be interested to see if they end up replying to me. But I'll keep you posted.
Yeah, stay tuned. Well, what I'm about to share is another disturbing fact about Nathaniel Barjona that will bring all of our discussions full circle. Our discussions about the disappearances of missing children in New England, child molester Wayne Chapman, child trafficking, and Andy Puglisi. You see, it's pretty clear that Barjona did not work alone. Proof of this was discovered after Barjona's arrest in Montana when Great Falls police found correspondence between Barjona and two other men, Wayne Chapman and Charles Pierce. If you recall, Wayne Chapman was a prime suspect in the disappearance of Andy Puglisi, and Charles Pierce confessed to the murders of Michelle Wilson, a Boxford, Massachusetts teen, and William D'Souza, a 10-year-old from Chicago. From the letters taken from Barjona's apartment, it was clear to law enforcement that the three men knew each other before they were incarcerated together at Bridgewater. As it turns out, Wayne didn't know why he was incarcerated at Walpole and told Barjona to get transferred to Bridgewater. And then later on, Barjona would suggest that Chapman contact the doctors Ober and Switzer to Chapman. See, these were those two doctors, the Christian psychologist, that got Barjona released. And I really had to take pause on this.
I mean, this is, yeah, it's mind-blowing.
You're thinking, okay, so were they card-carrying members? You know, or were they just in a bad coincidence that everybody kind of knew everybody? I mean, if you're suggesting to use a particular doctor, that smacks of being involved.
It really does. And I think that how this all comes full circle is just shocking, because we've seen time and time again, as we cover these child trafficking or these child molestation cases from back in the 70s, you know, there's a reason why we're pulling it all together like this for the listeners, that they are all connected and that there was pretty sophisticated, you know, connections between these men. Obviously, this was, you know, prior to the days of the internet, but they were still working together very successfully. And I think it's awful.
Yeah, no, I agree. And, you know, you would think that would be as bad as it gets, but it really does get much worse. You know, Barjona would also befriend a man named Keith Corwin Bauman, also known as Doc in Montana. Great Falls police would also go on to uncover proof that Barjona and Doc Bauman had groomed Zachary Ramsey. In a letter that was intercepted by law enforcement, Doc wrote to Barjona complaining how Detective John Cameron was harassing him for information about Zachary Ramsey's disappearance. Doc would go on to write that he would not forgive Barjona for taking Zachary away from him, and that Barjona should figure out a way to get Cameron off his back, or he would be forced to tell a detective what he knew.
Yeah, I was reading a lot about Barjona and the Zachary Ramsey case, and what was so sad to me is that Zachary had all these really bad people in his life because he had been regularly sexually abused by Doc Bauman.
Gosh, that's awful.
And then, you know, comes across, you know, Barjona. So he had a really rough life, and it just makes me sad that he had to endure all of that.
Oh, yeah. He didn't have a chance. It didn't seem like.
No, not at all. But, you know, sadly, the release of men like Nathaniel Barjona is just a symptom of a much larger problem. And I encourage anyone who is interested to pick up a book called Monster, The Life and Crimes of Wayne Chapman by David McGrath. This book does a fantastic job of exposing a number of pedophiles and how organized they were and how organized they still are. All of these men, as well as the likes of John David Norman, were all connected. And if you recall, John David Norman had an extensive list of names that included doctors, lawyers, politicians, judges, and professors. All were men that were looking to purchase young boys and some young girls for sex. It was the very definition of child sex trafficking. And Barjona, Wayne Chapman, and Charles Pierce were all associated with members of NAMBLA, and they were card-carrying members of NAMBLA. And if you recall, NAMBLA is an organization with a mostly secret membership that I believe has been and is currently instrumental in assisting pedophiles and trafficking children all across the globe.
Yeah. You know, I just don't believe that they are defunct. I believe they've just gotten smarter and more secretive.
I completely agree with that. And I have much more to say on NAMBLA in the coming days.
I cannot wait. Listeners, you're just going to have to sit back and wait for those, because some interesting finds that LaDonna has come across. And there is so much because of that, so much to say on this subject. But in an effort to keep these very heavy episodes to a minimum, we're just going to continue to discuss this throughout the rest of our season. as we also talk about the horrors of human trafficking. Please keep tuning in and sharing all of these episodes. Help us spread the word in an effort to keep children and families safe. Together, we can make a difference. Until next time, stay safe, friends, and remember, keep your lights on.
For exclusive content from this episode and other episodes, head on over to our Patreon, patreon.com/deepdarksecrets. Sign up and you will receive Deep Dark Secrets merchandise, extra episodes, and much more. For more information about our podcast, visit deepdarksecretspodcast.com.